So the pages I wrote on the board here, if you take a look on the board, you'll see Chavav, Peivav, Sadi, and then Kuflam and Gimel. So let's go through some of these, and we'll start with Chavav. Now Chavav actually continues and includes Chav Zayin as well, and we're primarily focused on Chav Zayin, but we do want to take a look at the last two lines on Chavav. And he quotes the Beis Halevi, who in turn quotes the Biurei Hagra in Shulchan Aruch. And what we're studying here is the Shita of the Rambam in Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. If you recall, just to refresh your memories, the Rambam has both Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. So the Rambam will encourage us to add on the first night extra candles Kenega the Anshe Abayis, and on the second night to multiply that by the fact that it's the second night. Tosis doesn't like this, if you recall, because Tosis thinks that you've confused the Roeh. The Roeh thinks when he sees multiple candles, he doesn't know if this is Keneged Yomim Hayotzim, as we say, or is it Keneged the Anshe Abayis. You know, he sees a massive amount of candles here, which is a combination of both Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Therefore, Tosus comes to the conclusion against the Rambam that we have to drop Mahadrin and instead we go with Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Yesterday we had a long discussion, which I'm not going to review now, about whether or not on the first night Tosus would agree that he should be Mahadir and light Keneged the Anshe Abayis, because there's no Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Okay, we had a Tosa Rosh who says that would confuse you on the second night, etc. That was yesterday. Today we want to mention the Gra. The Gra here, which you'll see on the top of page Chav Zayin, line 5, offers a defense for the Rambam. And he says basically the following. The Gemara offers, if you recall, two explanations for the Machlokas Beisil and Beit Shammai. The first explanation was Keneged Yom HaYotzim or Keneged Yom HaNichnosim. The second explanation was Maila B'Kodesh or Keneged Pari Achad. So he says that according to the Rambam, we're going to accept the second approach of explaining Beisil and Beit Shammai, namely that Beit Shammai is based on Pari Achad, Beis Hillel is based on Maila B'Kodesh. And if this be the case, then we drop the whole discussion about Keneged Mispar Yomim. Right? So what was Tosus's problem here? That if you're adding candles, then the onlooker doesn't know whether it's Keneged Mispar Yomim. He thinks that maybe Nisvasvu Anshe Abayis. So the answer is, says the Gaon, that the Rambam is not impressed with this, because the Rambam holds that there's no need to add candles, and that's not the purpose of Mahadrin and Mahadrin, to reflect the number of days that have passed, because that was only the first explanation of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. And therefore, in the language of the Gaon, lo ichpas lon klal shiyu haneros kemispar yom. There's no agenda here that the number of candles should reflect the number of days of Chanukah. That's how the Gaon wants to defend the Shita Saram. However, the Beis HaLevi says the following. That according to Tosfos, even though you might have gotten the impression that in the second explanation, the Lishna Basra we'll call it, of Maila B'Kodesh versus Pari Achad, we dropped the ball on the Iker Tam, which was the Keneged Yom HaYotzim Yom HaNichnasim. But even according to this explanation, we still have a push of Keneged Mispar HaYomim. Meaning, it's not that the second Lishna completely undermines and shelves the whole agenda of Keneged Mispar HaYomim. Even the second Lishna accepts that. Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that Hayu Yochol Lasos Hidur O Keneged Nichnasim O Keneged Ayotze. So in the second Lishna, we want to have Mispar Yomim, and that is the Mahajim and a Mahajim. Everybody agrees to that. But we were perplexed about whether or not we should do it from 1 to 8 or 8 to 1. And therefore, the second Lishna offers another explanation as to which sequence we should do it in. Should we start with 8 and go down to 1? That's Beit Shammai because of Pariachag. Or should we start with 1 and go up to 8? That's Keneged Maila, that's because of Maila Bekodesh. So therefore, he says that Beit Shammai Svirle the Tiknu Ahidur Keneged Anichnasim. Why did they choose Keneged Anichnasim, which means from 8 down to 1? That's because of Pariachag. Beis Hill Svirle the Asu Ahidur Keneged Ayotzim Mishum Maila Bekodesh. So therefore, Tosus didn't have any option of combining the Mahajan with the Mahajan Mina Mahajan, because even according to the second Lishna in the Gemara, we're operating with the underlying premise that we need Misfar Yomim. Whether it's Misfar Yomim this way or that way depends upon Maila Mekodesh or Kari Pariacha. Now the Beis HaLevi adds the following. Let me just make a bracha if you don't mind.
Amen.
What happens in a case of someone who doesn't have ample candles? He writes, "In Elo," I'll add the word Neros, it doesn't say the word Neros, but "In Elo kol tzorech," he says, "Miyoma chamishi ulamalo," when he gets to the fifth night of Hanukkah, let's say he doesn't have five candles, the Enlokak Dalid Neros, he only has four Neros, the Beis Hillel Yodu, the Yochol Lasos Hidur, Shel HaNichnosim. This is really wild. Here's a case where Beis Hillel will accept the Shita of Beit Shammai, which is Keneged Yom HaNichnosim. So let's say we get to the fifth night. Now, according to Beis Hillel, how many candles do we light on the fifth night?
Five.
No, I think four, right? Let's go. I meant to say according to Beis Shammai. Did I say Beis Hillel? Yeah. Sorry. I was just trying to trip you up. Okay. What I meant to say is, according to Beis Shammai, how many candles do we light on the fifth night?
Four,
correct? Because we start with 8, then we go down to 7, then we go down to 6, then we go down to 5, that's on the fourth night. On the fifth night, we're going to light four candles. So here's a paradoxical situation, says the Beis HaLevi. Here even Beis Hillel would agree that we should light four candles if he only has four candles on the fifth night. Let's try to explain the mechanics of it and see if we can make sense out of it. He's saying like this. If we're accepting Maila Bekodesh Velomo Ridim in Beis Hillel, it means that Beis Hillel could also agree Keneged Yom HaNichnosim. Why does Beis Hillel object to Keneged Yom HaNichnosim? And the answer is because of Maila Bekodesh. Now, in this case where all he has is four candles, so he's not going to violate, he's not going to irritate the principle of Maila Bekodesh, then he's going to go with Yom HaNichnosim. So on the fifth night, he's going to light four candles. And he says the following. That Yodu Beis Hillel Beit Shammai the Yochel Lasos Ahidur Shal Hayom HaNichnosim El Rak Mishum Maila Bekodesh. The only reason why we don't want to go with Yom HaNichnosim according to Beis Hillel is because of the principle of Maila Bekodesh in the second Lishna, right? Im Kein She'ein Lo Rak Arba Yadlik Arba V'yia Ahidur Keneged Yom HaNichnosim. I can't divorce. This is the Beis HaLevi. It's very interesting that the Beis HaLevi says that if you hold like the Gaon, that we pass like the second Lishna, and the reason for Beis Hillel is because of Maila Bekodesh, he says that in this case there's no irritation, so to speak, to the principle of Maila Bekodesh, because that's all the nearest that he has. Not only that, he also lit four candles yesterday, so it's not Moridim Bekodesh, you know, could add that. So he's going to light four candles on the second night.
On the fifth night.
Okay, I'll get it straight. You know, when it comes to mathematics, I'm very slow.
This is he only has four candles. Or we had 10 candles.
He's got four candles. It's the fifth night. He's gonna light four candles like Beit Shammai.
Right.
Meaning connected Yom
HaNos. And the next night, if he had.
Now, for some reason, he says Yom HaChamishi Ulamala.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he means.
By six. Six, seven, nine.
What does he have on the sixth night? How many candles?
So I'm saying that's my kasha. If he has 10 candles, it would be 4, 3, 2, 1. Is that right?
It sounds if you say.
Let's get to the sixth night. What does he light on the sixth night?
So he has four for the fifth night, three for the sixth, two for the seventh, and one for the eighth. That's what. So the assumption is he has enough candles for that, or if he did have, or not. If he has that many, maybe he should still five on the fifth.
So again, the Beis Halevi doesn't spell out why he's not violating Milah Mekodesh here. So that's a little confusing. I wanted to suggest that maybe on the fifth night, if he's lighting four candles, that's not a violation of Milah Mekodesh, because it's not Morid the Mekodesh. Last night he lit four.
The assumption has to be that he only has four. Should he light four on that night and
on the fifth night?
On the fifth night, nothing the next three nights.
That's a different question. I guess he's assuming that he'll get new supplies of candles. But he's talking about a case where on the fifth night he has four candles.
That's all he has. Okay.
So you and I would have said, well, what's the point over here? Because according to Beis Hillel, if he lit four candles last night, then tonight he has to lit five candles. He might as well just light one candle, right? Because four candles on the fifth night is meaningless. Comes along the Beis Halevi, he says, no, it's not meaningless, because fundamentally, even Beis Hillel could accept Yom HaNechnasim, and we could light four candles on the fifth night, like Beit Shammai. The only problem that Beis Hillel has is Milah Mekodesh. Now, he doesn't talk about, he does say the word, what was the word? Vielach, right?
Yeah.
Ulamala. I don't know what it means. Because at some point, maybe you do violate Milah Mekodesh Lo Morid. Let's say, in your case, Asher, he only has three candles for the sixth night.
Yeah.
He has three candles, so maybe that would be already Morid the Mekodesh. I don't know. So I didn't want to get into that. But I just wanted to present this breakthrough sheet to the Beis Halevi as far as the fifth night is concerned, that you and I would have said, according to Beis Hillel, it's pointless to light four candles on the fifth night. You might as well just light one candle and go back to the Ikar Mitzvah, because four doesn't reflect Yom HaYotzim. He wants to say that according to Lishna Basra, which the Beis Hillel, which the Vilna Gaon says we postulate like that Lishna, that this would not be a violation of Milah Mekodesh, Rei Morida Mekodesh, and therefore we go back to Beit Shammai. Lenny, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Just from the words you were saying before, it sounds like you should light four at each night, each succeeding night.
Let's say on the sixth night he has four candles, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I don't know. That doesn't fit neither into Beit Shammai nor into Beit Hillel. So I don't know. Yeah, but the language here.
From the language, it sounds like you should go less.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'll just limit myself to that.
How could the Beis Halevi postulate Beit Shammai?
Again, he's saying that we possibly like Beis Hillel, but only the Lishna Basra Beis
Hillel. But even to possibly like Beis Shammai, Bizman is wrong.
Well, only wrong if Beis Hillel disagreed. And he's saying that in this case, Beis Hillel would not disagree. Why? Because Beis Hillel's only problem with Yom HaNechnasim is Milah Mekodesh. He doesn't have that problem if he's lighting the same number of candles that he lit yesterday. So again, even though Beis Hillel would rather...
It's only in that one particular case.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean... Maybe I went too far in my drama here. You know, sometimes I overdo it. I didn't mean to say that we're going to possibly like Beit Shammai. If I said that...
I didn't mean to say that. I would have passed in the other way.
Okay, let's... If you don't mind, Rabosei, since I have a lot to get into today and I really want to get to Kuflam and Gimel, because that's what I really prepared very hard for today. So let's just see if we can move at the speed of light. I want to start the Mitzvah tomorrow with Hilchas Purim. So let's see what we can do. He says the following. I'm in the bottom right column here on Chav Zayin, and he says the following. Ulam lefia mavur hara ikar ahidu lahadlik neris lefi mispa yomim shenasa bo anes kak shesfir le sheyef shalomar shayom shaomeg bo michlal yomim ayotsim. Oh, okay. So what I'm about to say, and I apologize for this, is only going to be understood by those who were here yesterday. I apologize for that. I don't usually do that. I usually every share is a separate unit, but here because it's the last day of Chanukah, and I want to push in a lot. So for anyone who was here yesterday, how many people were here yesterday? Just one? Okay. For Abby, I'm going to say the following: that the whole presentation here that we spent a lot of time on yesterday is based on that one Rashi. Rashi says that what's problematic in Beis Hillel is the day itself. How can you count the day itself as the Yom HaYotzim, right? When we you'd have to anticipate the miracle of that day. That you know, if we're duplicating the miracle as it happened then you can't say that tonight I am lighting a candle for tonight's miracle, because tonight's miracle was that the Shemen only lasted through. And we went a step further. We said that's exactly why the Gemara looked for an explanation for Beit Shammai as Yom HaNichnasim, because Beit Shammai is going to solve that problem of the Yom Sha'omed Bo. Right? That was the whole discussion with Rashi, the Yom Sha'omed Bo, whether it's considered part of Yom HaYotzim. That means that even according to the Lishon of Basra, we're assuming that the number of candles has to reflect the Nes itself. In other words, the number of candles has to reflect the Nes itself. So therefore he says that Im kein le'inyan shel yom ha'yotzim ha'nichnasim. Just one second. Oh, so that's what the Lishon HaBasra wanted to do. The Lishon HaBasra wanted to accept that we don't have the ability to apply the principles of yom ha'nichnasim, yom ha'yotzim, because of this problem of osa yom sha'omein bo. Now he goes on the left column, Dibra Maskel Vehine, to quote the Mishnah Brura, who says that if he only has two candles on the third night, he should only light one candle. Why? Because in that case he doesn't gain anything of the heder of Keneged Yom HaYotzim. It's only he only has two candles. And the Avi Ezri, that's Rav Shach, writes in Hilchas Chanukah that there's a heder even with two neros. So we're talking about two neros on the third night of Chanukah. The Mishnah Brura advocates that we only light one candle, whereas the Avi Ezri advocates that we light two candles. And the Avi Ezri apparently doesn't give us any explanation. Again, based on everything we've been saying, that the Mahadran, when the Mahadran night is to Keneged Yom HaYotzim, what good is two candles on the third night? He says, the Sfirle L'Avi Ezri, that Yesh Hidu L'Hadlik Od Ner L'Farsem Tosefes HaNes Af She'eno Keneged Mispar Yomim. So we want to indicate that there was an addition to the Nes. So by adding anything beyond the one single candle that's absolutely critical, that already is a kiyum of hidur. He says the yisoda hidur lahadlik neros lefi mispar yomim shenasa bo anes. Notice in the ideal situation you want to publicize how many days of miracle we had, but in the barest minimum case where we don't have the ability to be mefarsim that mispar yomim, then we just want to add a tosefes Ner, because with the Tosefes Ner, we have at least a partial kiyum of Hidra Mitzvah to publicize that there was a Tosefes Nes, that there was something beyond one day of Nes. Okay, that's as far as Chavav is concerned. So I owed you that Chav from yesterday and I paid up that day. Now I'm going to fast forward to Pei Vav, and we're dealing with the laws of Holland. Okay, then? If you're on Pei Vav, there are two paragraphs that start with the word Vehine, and we're on the second paragraph of Vehine. There's a sugya in Masechta Megillah Daf Yudalid, and there's a Tosfos with a kasha. The sugya on Daf Yudalid establishes, according to one Maan D'Yomer at least, that there's no Hallel on Purim because it's a Nes Shebechutz Laretz. And B'li Neder, as we go along into Purim, we'll talk a lot about that sugya. But we want to just get one point from that sugya, and that's going to be the Turi Evan. The sugya is baffled about the fact that Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is one of the most important seminal days of Hallel, took place. That entire miracle took place in Chutz Laretz. So how can you postulate that a Nes in Chutz Laretz does not generate Hallel, and that's why Purim is in Persia, it's not Hallel, when Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the paradigm of Hallel, took place in Chutz Laretz? So the Turi Evan has a big chiddush here. He says, I don't understand. What is the Gemara talking about Nes of Chutz Laretz versus Nes of Eretz Yisrael? That whole distinction would have no application with regard to Pesach. Why? Because Pesach is not a day in which we recite Hallel because of a Nes. The reason why, this is the whole sugya of Erechin, that we recite Hallel on Pesach is because it's a Moed. And the Gemara establishes in Masechta Erechin that every Moed, if it has Issa Melocha, generates a Chi of Hallel. So if you're talking about, let's say, for example, the first day of Pesach, we're going to recite Hallel on the first day of Pesach, not because of Nes, not because of any miracle, but because it's a Moed. And every Moed requires Hallel. Says the Turi Evan, that's not what the Gemara is bothered by. The Gemara understands very well that every Moed, whether it's Pesach, Atzeres, or Sukkot, with or without a Nes, requires Hallel. But rather, the Gemara's question is not the Hallel of the first day of Pesach, but the Hallel of the night of Pesach. Because Hal Sha'omer Belel Yontif Rishon Shel Pesach, Kokashale, Deholav Mishum Regel. That can't be because of the fact that Pesach is a Moed. And that's based on a sugya psachim that we only recite Hallel during the day. The Pesach daytime Hallel is certainly generated by Moed. But the problem was, what about Hallel at night? Hallel at night, the Leil Pesach, is not Hallel of Moed, but rather it's a Hallel of Nes. Right, because on that night we miraculously were taken out of Mitzrayim. Well, whatever that means. I'm not going to go into that now. We'll save that for our Pesach learning. But anyway, there was a great Nes on the night of Pesach, B'chatzos HaLaila, and at that point we are chayev in Hallel. But again, this is not the Hallel of a Moed, but the Hallel of a Nes. Oh, on that, the Gemara asks the following question. We have a principle that what kind of Nes or what location of a Nes generates Hallel? Only Eretz Yisrael. This is a Nes in Chutz Laretz. So in other words, just to make life easy for ourselves, let's ask the question of the Gemara according to the Turi Evan as a Miman Afshach. Miman Afshach, I don't know how to justify Hallel on Leil Pesach. If it's B'toris Moed, that's the Hallel of tomorrow, of the morning of Pesach. If it's the Hallel of Nes, Ein Omrim Hallel Nes Shebechutz Laretz, that's what the Gemara's kash is. Oh. So he wants to suggest here in the Gevuras Yitzchak, and you'll find this approximately 10 or 12 lines up from the bottom of the page, if you want to follow it inside. I actually underlined it. I don't know if you have an underline. He says the following, Yesh Behalel Trei Dine. There are two dinim or two machayvim of Hallel. One Hallel, he says, is Chiyuva Mishum Regel. It's because it is a Yontif, whether it's Atzeres, whether it's Sukkot, the first day of Pesach. Vidino Shenomar Shenemar B'yom. When do we recite the Hallel of a Moed? Only during the daytime hours. The Odika din Hallel, then there's another category of Hallel, Al Hanes. And that's going to be the paradigm of which is going to be Hallel on Leil HaPesach. And that's going to be a Hallel at night time. Does everybody see that? So again, this Hallel Shel Moed and this Hallel Shel Nes. If it's a Hallel Shel Moed, then it's limited to Yom. If it's a Hallel Shel Nes, then it could apply even Belaila. He says that if you go with the Turi Evans Pshat, that there are two categories of Hallel, we can begin to appreciate Tosis in Masechta Sukkah. Tosis in Masechta Sukkah wants to be Mechadesh, that women are obligated in Hallel. Now I'm going to say it in a way that confuses us, and then we'll sharpen it up. How could Tosis say that women are obligated in Hallel? After all, Hallel would be a classical case of a mitzvah say Shazman Groma, because you can only recite Hallel by day. So what does Tosis mean when he says in Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches that women should be obligated in Hallel? He's talking about the Hallel Anes, not the Hallel of a Moed, but the Hallel Anes. And this is the language in Tosis. Tosis says, Mashma, the Isha Ptura mi Hallel de Sukkahs v'chein da atzeres, v'taima mishum da v'mitzah seishas man gromi. Of af al gav da Hallel de Leil Pesach mashma b'perek arvei psoch edu mechaivei. Now let me just try to fill in a little bit of the blanks here. Why does Tosis think, based on a sugyan arei psochim, that women are obligated in Hallel at night? Anybody remember that? I'm just filling in the blanks here. That's based on the sugya of Dalet Kosos, because the Gemara establishes that the four kosos are keneged four brachos, and the last of those four kosos is keneged Hallel. It's the koshel Hallel. Or maybe the next to the last kosos, right? And the women are obligated in the koshel Hallel, are they not? Because women are obligated in all four kosos. Does anybody remember why women are obligated in four kosos? So Tosis says, what's going on over here? If that kos of Dalet Kosos is a koshel Hallel, and women are obligated in all four kosos, including the koshel Hallel, why should women be chayiv in Hallel? After all, it's a mitzvah seishas around Groma. So Tosis answers, Shani Hallel de Pesach the ala nesba v'afein hoyu bosa nes. So Rabosa, according to the Turi Evan, which Hallel does Tosis have in mind when he says that women are obligated in Hallel? But I'm saying which one? The night or the day?
Night
time, exactly. Because the Hallel during the day is the Hallel Shel Moed, and it's no different than Sukkos and Atzeres, and Tosis applies the principle of Zman Groma. And therefore women are exempt from Hallel. But when it comes to the Hallel of Leil HaPesach, that's already a different Machayev, that's a different category of Hallel. That's the Hallel of Ness. And here we apply the principle of Af Hein Hoyu Bioso Ness. So if you take a look on page Pei Zayin for a moment, he says the following. This is about the third line down from the top of Pei Zayin. He says, Af al gav de bahalel mitam de regel noshim pturos. In other words, if the hal is engendered by the regel itself, it's man groma, women are exempt. Bahal shal lel pesach, navi hal shal nes, af noshim chayobos, di af hein hoyubos on nes. Okay. Now at this point, in the paragraph that starts Ella, he quotes a Ran in Perek Arvei Psochim. The Ran in Perek Arvei Psochim quotes Rav Haigon. And Rav Haigon says, quote, the Hallel shel Leil HaPesach havi Hallel shel Shira. And Rav Haigon, identifying the Hallel of Leil HaPesach as Hallel Shel Shira, goes on to say that there's no bracha on Hallel b'Leil HaPesach. In other words, let's go back a little bit. What was bothering Rav Haigon that he came up with this bombastic chiddush that the Hallel of Leil HaPesach is called Hallel Shel Shira? He was bothered that in every Hallel we have a bracha, Asher Kidshonu Mitzvosim Tzivonu L'Kros Hallel, or Ligmar's Hallel, whatever your nusach is, but on Leil Pesach we have no such nusach. Again, Rabosa, don't get confused here, because there's another Hallel that we recite in the Beis HaKnesses. That's not what we're talking about. That's a whole different halacha of Pirsum HaNes, or Shevach Shel Tzibur. We're talking about the Hallel on the Haggadah, right, in the Leil HaSeder. Why doesn't it have a bracha? So Rav Haigon says that there's a fundamental difference between Hallel and Shira. whereas Hal requires a bracha, Shira does not require a bracha. And if you take a look at the end of this paragraph, Ella, you can go up four lines to the bottom. He says the following: Yisoda Dovar. What underlies this principle of Rav Haigoin? The Halel Shalel Pesach Nemar Af Balayla. You see already, even before we get to Rav Haigoin, and we saw this already in Tosis, but again, it's fundamental that the Halel of Leila Pesach is radically different than every other Halel. Every other Halel is only by day, right? Biyom. The Halel of Leila Pesach is by Laila. So we already see that there's something unique about the Halel Shel Pesach by Laila. And that is, says Rav Haigoin, because that's a Halel Anes. And a Halel Anes generates a Chiyuv of what? Shira. Not Halel, but Shira. What's the Nafkamina? No bracha. So again, we have a fundamental nafkamina that predates Rav Haigoin, and that is that the difference between Halel Shalel Pesach and general Halel is that whereas general Halel applies only by day and not by night, Halel Pesach is by Laila. And we base that on the Turi Evan, that that's because the Halel Shel Laila is not generated by the Moed but rather by the Nes. Now we're adding another element to the equation which with its own nafkamina, that is that Halel Shalel Pesach is Halel Shel Shira. And since it's Halel Shel Shira, says Rav Haigoin, therefore it doesn't get a bracha. Again, we don't know why yet, but at least we have to work with the rules and the mechanics of Rav Haigoin. In general, Halel, which again is generated by the Moed, there's going to be what? There's going to be a restriction that it has to be by day, and number two, you're going to have to add a bracha. If it's Halel at night, that's already a different kind of Halel. It's not the Halel of Moed, but rather it's the Halel of Nes. And the Halel of Nes is not called Halel, it's called Shira. And therefore, it doesn't require bracha because Halel Shel Shira has no bracha. So the Halel is Balayla because of Nes. And if the Halel Balayla is because of Nes, then it becomes Shira and it doesn't have a bracha. Now all this is going to take us to Chanukah. And now it gets exciting. What is the nature of Halel on Chanukah? And again, if anyone didn't recite Halel yet, I'm just kidding with you, but halachically, and this is not a joke, I can tell my wife, she still has another, let's see, what time is it? It's 12:15, right? She still has another 4 hours and change to say Halel. So everything that we're saying now is relevant for the next 4 hours. What is Halel on Pesach? On Chanukah, sorry. So here we have a Rashi and a Rashbam in Psochim, in Arvei Psochim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says about the Nevi'im that the Nevi'im established Al Kol Perek Val Kol Tzora Utzor Shel Otov Aleihem V'Nig'ola Mimenu, that you recite Halel. So this was a Takana of Nevi'im. Now let me just mention to you, and again, we'll get into it a little bit later. But just on the outset, if it's a takanas hanevi'im, it's considered a high powered takana. What's that called? It's not doraisa. It's not midirei sofrim. It's high powered. Excellent. Direi kabbal. And Rashi says that what's al kol tzara v'tzar shelo tov aleihem, both Rashi and the Rashbam, Chanukah. In other words, the Tzara of the Yevanim and the Geula from the Tzara of Yevanim, that's included in what the Gemara calls a Takanas HaNevi'im. So Rabosa, if I would ask you at this point, based on Rashi and the Rashbam, what would be, how would you classify the severity, so to speak, the level of Chanuk, of Purman, sorry, of Halel on Chanukah, where would you place it? Is it Doraisa? Is it Divrei Sofrim? Or is it Divrei Kabbalah? Divrei Kabbalah, because Rashi says that when the Nevi'im made this Takana of Halel called Tzara V'Tzara, they had in mind Chanukah. So it means that Chanukah comes under the category of Divrei Sofrim. It's a whole new Divrei Kabbalah, sorry. It's a, I'll get there eventually. It's a whole new category of severity. Oh, so the Gvuras Yitzchak says, I don't understand. What is going on over here? Rashi makes no sense. The Gemara tells us exactly why we recite Halel on Chanukah. Because of the Pach HaShemen. This is the price that we've been studying for the last 2 months, or however long we've studied. That matzu pach shemen shel shemen lahoy ba'el kedei lahadlik yomecha nasem ones hidliku v'erishmonis yomim is l'shon acheres kavu v'asum yomim tovu b'hal v'odah. So the halva odah is not on the milchama, it's not on the tzara, but rather it's on the nes of the pach shemen. So how could it be that on the one hand the Gemara in Shabbos quoting the price of my Chanukah would establish that the halel of Chanukah is the halel on the Pach HaShemen, and on the other hand Rashi says in Masechta Psachim that the halel of Chanukah is because of Geula and Atzara? In other words, the Gemara in Psachim is going with one approach, the way Rashi interprets it, and the Gemara in Shabbos with a whole different approach. What justifies or generates the chiyuv of Halal on Chanukah? Is it A or is it B? The Gemara in Psachim assumes it's because of a tzara shenig'ola mimena. And that was the tremendous victory of the Chashmonaim against the Yavanim. And that would generate halal. Rashi says that Nigolim Imen is referring to the Tzara of the Yevonim and the great Gula of Chanukah. Then we open up the Gemara on Shabbos that attributes the halal of Chanukah to what? To the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. So obviously, what are we ready for? Shnei Dinim. We're ready for a brisket Shnei Dinim. There are two different halals on Chanukah. This is fascinating. The Gemara in Psachim is operating within the context of one particular Hallel, and that's called Hallel Shel Tzara Fshenig Olam Imeno. And the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about a different kind of Hallel. And we have to define that Hallel. Again, initially he's going to call it, but you'll see how he brushes it up and sharpens it up a little later. He's going to call it a Hallel Shel Nes because of the Pach HaShemen. So we're now looking at a paragraph that starts with the word Vehanire. He says, Be'emes Shnei Dinim Iko Bahalel Shel Chanukah. Or in my language, I would call it Shnei Machayvim Iko Bahalel Shel Chanukah. Number one, Chiyuv Hal Mishum Anesh Shel Pach HaShemen. That's the sugya of my Chanukah in Shabbos. Shenis, number two, Chiyuv Hal Dinavim Shebeinem Tiknu Lem Yisrael Shiu Omrim. Es ha-halel al-kol tzor v'tzor shel otovo aleim k'shineg olim omrim al-gu'ulosam halel. And that's the sugim psachim with the Rashi who mentions Chanukah. Or v'hine ha-halel mishum ha-nes shel pach ha-shemen. Here he's saying a chiddush here, Rabbi Mosai. Listen carefully. Again, you can put up your dukes and sharpen your knives if you want, and this is a good point in time to do so. Because you may want to, how should I say, be inhibited to accept the next leap of faith, as I call it. This is a real chiddush. He wants to say the following. I think I know what motivates him. I'll get back to that in a second. He wants to suggest that what is Hal Mishum Nes, meaning the sugya in Shabbos, the price of my Chanukah and the Pach HaShemen. He says the following. That's the halal of regel. Do you remember we said that there are two machayivim of halal? There's regel, right, a moed, and then there's the machayiv of nes, even without a moed, right, even independent of moed. So he says the following: when the Gemara says that in the brice of my Chanukah that they establish these days as days of halal v'odaya in the footsteps or in the aftermath of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, that's the Hal of a Regel. Why? Because if you read the Braisa carefully, it says the following: L'shona Acheres Kav'um Vasa'um Yomim Tovim Behalel V'odah. Do you see where the Yomim Tovim comes in? Rashi has a lot of problem, has a great problem with the words Yomim Tovim. He says, don't misunderstand the Gemara. It doesn't mean that Chanukah is a yontif as far as Isur Malach is concerned. It's only a yontif as far as Halav Hodah is concerned, right? Because, let's take the easy case of Hodah. Hodah means Al Anisim, Rashi says. And we have a halach of tefillah in Hilchos Tefillah that we have to add something if the day itself is endowed with a special status. So in this case of Chanukah, we add Al Anisim because the days of Chanukah are endowed with the status of a yontif. But now we go on to Hallel. Hallel is a result of the status of the day as yontif. And what the Chachomim did was, they didn't say, look, there was a great miracle, and therefore we're going to say Hallel to commemorate that miracle. That maybe they did with regard to Leil HaPesach, right, the first night of Pesach, but they didn't do that in the case of Hanukkah. They waited a full year, and they established the days of Hanukkah as Yomim Tovim. The Rambam, if you recall, again, and this is a parenthetical insert, I don't want to get distracted, but the Rambam adds Simcha as well, that these was established as a Yomtiv as far as Simcha. But even without the Rambam's Girsa, what we have in our text is that these are days of Yomtiv as far as Hallel and Odah is concerned. So in other words, the Yisod, or shall we say the motivation or the background for Chanukah was the Pach HaShemen. But the Chachomim took it one step further. They upgraded it. And they were koveya that these days of Chanukah are a Yontif. My nafkimina, Hallel Vodah. So the Hallel of Chanukah now, based on the Sugin Shabbos, is the Hallel of a Yontif. Now, Rabosa, I think I mentioned yesterday that in Erechin, which is the main Sugin Daf Yud of Hallel, the Brisa lists 18 days Shegomer Bemesa Hallel. 8 out of the 18 are Chanukah. Those days of Gomer Bemesa Hallel are all days of Moed, except for Chanukah. Chanukah is like the odd man out, right? Because all the other days are either Sukkot or Atzeres or Pesach, and then all of a sudden, or Shmini Atzeres, right? What did I leave out? And then all of a sudden, you have Chanukah. The answer is right here, Rabosai. That the reason why Chanukah is 8 out of the 18 days is because Chanukah is also a Yontif. Not a Yontif Linyan Yisr Malacha, but a Yontif Linyan Hallel. Oh. Now, Ha Hallel, Sha'omer, oh. Now we get to the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim, Kuf Yud Zayin with Rashi, says that there's a whole different story about Hallel on Chanukah, and that is because of the Nevi'im, the Takonas HaNevi'im, because of the Tzara Shenig Olamimena. Like, for example, the Yevonim and the Melchama against the Yevonim, right? We all, you know, our ancestors put their lives on the line to fight this military campaign of against the Rabbim. Oh, that's not a Hallel Shel Yontif. The Gemara himself is not talking about a Hallel Shel Yontif. The Eino Toli Klal B'Toris Yontif the day Ki Imdavi Hallel Anes. That's the Hallel of the Nes. Because they were nigolim, they were miraculously saved, even though they were so by so many numbers they were outnumbered. Oh, now he says another chiddush. V'nira, this is about seven lines up before the end of the page. The hach hallel, the hall of mishum shenigolim, the emes ein chiyuv li omro rak. Okay, I would add the word ella here. Bechof hei bekislev lechut. So the 8 days of Chanukah are of Hallel are justified by the fact that there was a Nes of Shemen, and as a result of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, they established 8 days of Yontif. However, when the Gemara in Psachim applies the way Rashi explains it, the Nigolim Mimena of the Nevi'im to Chanukah, that's talking about a whole different miracle. That's the miracle of the salvation from the Milchama. That only applies on Chaf Hei B'Kislev L'Chud. Why? Why is it only limited to Chaf Hei B'Kislev? B'Yom Shenig Olu Minatzara, on that day that they were saved from the Tzara. So why do we recite Hallel for 8 days? That's because of the Nes of Pach HaShemen, and they would compare these 8 days as days of Yontif. And that's the Gemara in Shabbos. Here we're turning to page Peches. And as far as the sugya in Psachim is concerned, namely that we're going to recite Hallel because of Tzara Shenig Olamimeno, that's limited to the first day of Chanukah. That means Chaf Hei Kislev. Now, based on this, we may come to the following conclusion, that paradoxically, if the Hallel of, let's talk about the first day of Chanukah, is the Hallel of the Nevi'im, of Geula Mitzara, then it might not deserve a bracha. Do you follow my point? Because again, if it's not included in the 18 days, Shegomer Bemesa Hallel, if we isolate this element, then it becomes Hallel on a higher level.
Shira,
and it's instituted by the Takonas HaNevi'im. It becomes Divrei Kabbalah, but paradoxically, there's no bracha. So why do we recite a bracha on the first day of Chanukah? The answer is because Chanukah is also, the first day of Chanukah is also one of the 8 days of Chanukah. There's an overlap. So there are two machayvim, and it's going to go in two different directions. I'm talking about Chofei Kislev. So on Chofei Kislev, there are two machayvim. This is wild, Rav Osa. I'm telling you, this is, you know, again, you can sharpen your knives, but just listen to the creative mind here. There are two machayvim of Hallel, two different sugyas, one in Shabbos, one in Pesachim. One in Shabbos is based on the Kviyas Yomim Tovim, and that makes Chanukah like any day that has the status of a Yontif, and it generates Hallel. That Hallel will have to take place by day. That Hallel will have to get a bracha. That Hallel is only the divrei sofer. Then we have another sugya, Masechta Pesachim, which generates another din of Hallel, according to Rashi and the Rashbam. And that din of Hallel is based on the Ness. Which Ness? It's got to be a Tzara Shenigala Mimenu. That's going to be the attack of and the military campaign against the Yevanim. Ah, that's going to be only on the first day, but that's going to be upgraded to the level of what kind of chiyuv?
Shira.
A chiyuv shira, yeah, right, a chiyuv shira. But what I meant to say was, in the three gradations, right, I mean, the resolve, the raisa, right, it's going to go up to the level of Divrei Kabbalah because it's a takonas hanaviyim. Again, on the one hand, it's limited because it only applies to the first day, and it also applies without a bracha. But on the other hand, it's upgraded to the level of a kiyum of Divrei Kabbalah. That's wild. And here in the next paragraph that starts with the word Vehine, he quotes a Ramban. And this is the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Ramban says that the Hallel on Geula, whenever we make a Hallel on Geula, and the Rambam is talking, the Ramban, excuse me, is talking about Leil Pesach specifically, but whenever it's a Hallel on Geula, the Ramban says, it's a Hallel Shel Shira. So it's not a mitzvah of Kriyas HaHallel, it's a mitzvah of singing the song of praise to God, the Shira. Call it a spontaneous outburst of song because of experiencing of a Geula. If you look at the end of the paragraph on the right side, five lines up from the bottom, he says, "Bechafei bekislev ikachiv nosaf lomar hal mishum geula." If we take the Rashi in the Gemara in Pesachim, we have now on Chanukah an additional, because Rashi says explicitly Chanukah, an additional machayev of Hallel, and that's called Hallel Shel Shira. And why is that Hallel Shel Shira? Because of the takonas. Now take a look at the paragraph on the left column that starts with Lefi. Ulefi on the left column on Peches has nothing to do with the Pach HaShemet, but Peches. He says the following, that Nimtzeinu Lemedim the Hadar Kosmu Rashi Rashbam the Halal called Tzorah V'Tzorah Tzolom HaChanukah Lo Niskavnu Ledin Shel Ches Yimei Chanukah Hanichlolim Biyud Ches Yom Shigom Esahal V'Sugya in Erchin. Right, that's not what Rashi has in mind. Ki im ladin nosaf shel amiras halel b'chafei kislev davi midin hal shel shira, and that's the hal that was established by the Nevi'im because of the Tzara Nigolim imenu. V'adin hal shel chesimei chanukah nichlolim b'mayit hamrinon sham al kol perek v'perek to ratzalom ra'yud ches yomim akvuim liyantif hayochid gomer ben esahal midin yantif ukriyasam heim mitzvah midivrei sofrim. And that's exactly the sugya in Shabbos, that Lashon Acheres Kovum L'Yomim Tovim. What's the significance of Yomim Tovim? The Brisa says LaHallel. That Hallel as a Yontif belongs to the 18 days of Hallel that are Midivrei Sofrim. And they require a Kriyas HaHallel Midivrei Sofrim all 8 days of Chanukah, because all 8 days of Chanukah were endowed with the status of a Yontif. Now, from the words Vehine Bipsachim all the way to Lo Higianu, which is approximately 15 lines, he quotes a different sugya Bipsachim. And that's the Shira that they recited at the time of Shchitas Korban Pesach. And the Gemara says that they recited Shira to accompany the Shchitas Korban Pesach. However, they never ever got beyond A hafti. What's the paragraph? Can somebody help me out? I don't have halal in front of me. A hafti ki. What do we say there? Whatever it is. Anyway. What does it say? Yeah, what number paragraph is that? It's like the fourth, no? Or something like that?
Yeah, the fourth, yeah. It was the second. It's half of the...
So in other words, the Gemara says in Psachim that they never actually finished the Hallel. Says the Ramban, that's because the Hal Shel Shira doesn't require the entire Hallel. Another paradox here. In other words, we keep saying that Hal Shel Shira is on a higher level. It's midirei Kabbalah. It's more chamur. And the Hal Shel Shira can be recited even at night, we said. But on the other hand, paradoxically, there are a lot of kulos, so to speak. A lot of things that we drop on the wayside with regard to Hal Shel Shira. We don't make a brach on Hal Shel Shira. And now we're adding another point that we don't have to complete the entire Hallel when it comes to Hal Shel Shira. So he quotes here on the bottom left, going on to the next page, Peites, the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav says the following. That Dafka B'Hal Shel Kriya, which is the Hal of the Yudches days of Moed, of Yontif, it's Kol HaHalel, it's everything, all a bust. Or the garnished, as we say in Yiddish, right? That Kol HaHal Kula Mi'akev, you must critically recite the entire Hallel. That's why the bracha for Sfaradim is Ligmar Sahallel. It's got to be the entire Hallel. However, and that's on the top of Peites, with regard to the Hallel of Shira, which we saw in the Gemara Psachim on Daf Tzadi, on Daf Samach Dalet, Leka Din, there's no din of Kol HaHalel B'yachad, that you have to recite the whole Hallel from beginning to the end. Again, it's some sort of a formless, shapeless, amorphous Shira, a spontaneous song. And if it's a spontaneous song of Shira, because we were saved from some impending tzara, then we don't have to go through the formality of Kriya Sahal Mitri Lasavat Sofa. So if you fast forward to the last paragraph, Umeata, we begin to understand why the Magid Mishnah, in defense of the Rambam against the onslaught of the Ravid, right? The Ravid says, how could the Rambam say that we recite Hallel for 8 days on Chanukah midirei Sofrim? Says the Ravid, but the Gemara Psachim derives Hallel from Lel Hiskadish Chag, and that means that it's based on a pasuk in Tanakh and it has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. How could the Rambam fool us and trip us up into thinking that Hallel on Chanukah is only Midirei Sofrim? It's on a much higher level. It's Midirei Kabbalah, says the Magid Mishnah. No! That Gemara Psachim is talking about the Hallel of Shira. And the Hallel of Shira is a Hallel of Divrei Kabbalah. The Rambam is talking about Hallel Shel Kriya as in the context of the 8 days of Chanukah incorporated into the 18 days of Gomer Ba'anis HaHalel. That's Hallel Shel Kriya. That's only Midivrei Sofrim. The Ravid would be right if the Rambam was talking about the first day of Chanukah, because on Chof Hei B'Kislev, there we have a mitzvah of Tzara and Geula Mimeno, which is Midivrei HaNeviim. That would have the status of Divrei Kabbalah, and the Ravid is right. It would have the same status as Hallel on Leil HaPesach. The Hallel on Leil HaPesach is Midivrei Kabbalah, based on the Takonis HaNeviim, because it's Geula from a tzara, and that would apply to the first day of Chanukah as well. And now, Rabbosai, we're going to take a look at page Sadi. If you could fast forward to page Sadi, on the left side, Vehine Aran. And once again, he quotes the Ran in the name of Rav Haigon, that Hallel on Leil HaPesach is B'Torah Shira, and that's why Hallel on Leil HaPesach does not get a bracha. And he says that there's another din of Kriyas HaHalel Midirei Sofrim that has nothing to do with the Takonis HaNeviim during the Yudches Yomim, and that is a Hallel B'Torah Kriya, not Midin Shira. That's only Midirei Sofrim. So far, until we get to page Tzadi Aleph, this is a repetition of what we saw before. On page Tzadi Aleph, he makes a reversal. And we'll see, it's based on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham wants to know, if a person recites Hallel and he doesn't understand the word of what he recited, is he Yotzei the Mitzvah of Hallel? And the Magen Avraham comes up with a big chiddush, and he says that Hallel, on the second line of page Tadi Aleph, is Yotzei, he fulfills his obligation, Afilu Kishe'eno Mevin Es Haloshon. Now that makes sense with regard to Kriyas HaHalel. If there's a mitzvah of Kriya, so you could say even if he didn't understand what he was saying, at least Chachi, he implemented a Maisa Kriya. But when it comes to Shira, so claims the Gvuras Yitzchak, even the Magen Avraham would agree that Hal B'Torah Shira Eino Yotzi Dechovaso Im Eino Mevin Masha Omer. The whole purpose of Shira is not this formal. Say, you know, we saw you don't have to read it from beginning to end. It's just a spontaneous expression of God that He had saved us from a tzara. So I'm thinking to myself, if you know, because I have to speak in May, I have to speak about Yom HaTzma'ut, and the question is Hal on Yom HaTzma'ut. Right, it's a very controversial topic. But I would say that even if you convince yourself that maybe you don't have to say Hallel on Yom HaSmud, maybe that's B'Torah's Kriya, but B'Torah's Shira, you know, with all these different dinim, that we underwent a terrible tzara. I mean, they were digging graves over here, right? And we survived it because of the miraculous divine intervention, that would generate a Hallel B'Torah's Shira. Again, I don't know if you'd make a brach on such Hallel. That's the Rav Haigoin. I don't know if you have to read the whole Hallel, but again, it might be a kiyum of a Dibrei Kabbalah on the highest level. He says, "If Eino Mevin Masha Omer, Ein Lezeh Torah Shira, Shar Eikar Hashira Hu Haldoa Lanes." The whole thrust of Shira is to thank Hashem for saving you from this impending doom. It's not a formal, you know, institution that was, or requirement that was enacted by the Chachamim to read a certain series of Pirkei Tehillim, where you could say that arguably, according to the Magen Avraham, at least the Kriya itself is meaningful, even if you don't understand a word. But in the case of Shira, which is Hodol Anes, because God saved us, then how can you have a Torah Hodol if you don't understand the language? If Eido Mevin Masha Omer is Ein Zeh B'Chlal Hodah, that's not called a Hodah. Well, what am I hearing here? That's, it can't be Mincha, could it? What is that?
Someone's just happy singing.
Oh, okay. So if you can fast forward to the paragraph, Shira, right?
Not a brother.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, do you have a paragraph that starts Vahandira?
Yeah.
I think I know what's going on. My heart goes out. Yeah. Vanira, you have it? The paragraph that starts Vanira?
Yeah.
Okay. So he wants to say the following. Here's where he's going to make a little bit of a revolution. He says the following. That according to Rashi and the Rashbam, are you able to hear me? Yeah? According to Rashi, the Rashbam, and Psochim, on the Sugiv Takonis Anavim, I'll call Tzora Shenigolim, where Rashi and the Rashbam quote Chanukah, Ika shnei dinim bahalo shal Chanukah. Okay, this we've already seen in one form or another, but hang on to your chairs. He says, Chada, on the one hand, the din of Chanukah is Yudches Yomim. Chanukah is incorporated in the Brice and Erechin in the 18 days of Hallel. And that's called a din of Kriya. Right? As we said before, the Magen Avraham would say Yotze even without Kavana. You don't understand the Lashon. And then he says, there's another Shenis, which is about six lines down. There's another Machayev of Hallel on Chanukah, Din Shal Amiras Hallel B'Torah Shira. It's not Kriya, but it's Shira. And the Sugyan Psochim of the Nevi'im, that they were Mesakein, that I'll call Tzor V'Tzorah. Now watch this. Iri, this is the last line on the right column, Iri mi Din Mitzvahs Kriyas Hallel. Whoa, he's making it a total about face over here. Until now we've been assuming that the sugya in Psochim and the Takonis HaNevi'im and the way Rashi and the Rashbam interpreted referring to Chanukah, that was a Torah Shira, and we wanted to suggest that Torah Shira is on the Hatzolah from the Yevanim, if you know what I mean. Now he's saying, if I read this correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the Hallel of the Nevi'im and the Sugim Sachim are called Sorah, Sheni Golim Imenu, is Kriyas Hallel. In other words, we're going to put the Sugim Sachim together with the Sugim Erechin. The Sugim Erechin lists 18 days for Kriya, with all the dinim of Kriya that we mentioned before. He has to complete the whole Hallel. The Magen Avraham says he can omit, even without understanding Lashon, all those dinim of Kriya. That would come, that's the Sugim Psachim of the Nevi'im. Okay, again, I don't know how to work this out with the Rambam. Maybe he's just saying it according to Rashi and the Rashbam against the Rambam. Because again, the Rambam insists that all 18 days are only midirei sofrim. Now we're talking about a sugya of Kriya Sahal biyudches yomim that was established by whom? By the Nevi'im. If it was established by the Nevi'im, it's not midirei sofrim, it's midirei kabbalah. Now wait a second. In that list of 18 days, we have Sukkos, and we have Pesach, and we have Atzeres. Well, where's the alcohol? Sarah shenig olim imena. So if you take a look at the top column on the left, set, he says the following: the idi v'yomim, idi v'idi yomim hakvuim ninhu. You know, it's just like the Nevi'im established yomim kvuim because of the miracle and the geula from a tzor that took place on that particular day. So too, all the 18 days of Hallel in the Brisa and Erchin are Yomim Kvuim. And that's Kvuim for the mitzvah of Kriyas HaHallel. He's not going with the... I don't think he's going with Rav Haigon at this point. The Alzek Homer Rashi V'Arash Bam. The Hallel Shel Chanukah Nichlal B'Yudches Yomim Shemitzvah Hallel Bahem Avi Hallel Shel Kriya Mishum Shenigalu Min Atzoros. Well, if that be the case, then our Hallel on Chanukah for 8 days is not based on the Pach HaShemen, but rather on the Milchama. This is a whole about face of what we saw in the previous Simon. Now the Sugya Shabbos is the Sugya of Shira. The ikar dino hula hodos, right? What's the essence of shira? Because again, we said before that shira requires kavana. He has to understand the lashon. That's because shira equals hodah. And when the Gemara says in Shabbos, based on the brisa of lashon acheres, that they would kovea these days as days of hodah, then halal itself is hodah, and the law of halal means shira. Shira, that's what Hodah is. It's Shira, which again requires that you understand very well what your Hodah is all about. The Ikar Dina Hula Hodos, Ubahach Halil, Leka Din Diniboy Kala Halil. Okay, that we saw already, that if it's Vitara Shira, you don't have to recite the entire Halil. But not only that, the Chumra side is if Eino Mevim Mashomer and Yotzi De Chovas So She Ain Zeh Hodah Val Zeh Kamar Gemara De Kfiyus Shel Chanukah LaHodus El Hal Hu Zecher LeNes Pach HaShemen. Now this last line throws me for a loop. Just 1 second. Sugyan Shabbos is talking about a takana of Hodah. Just 1 second, but not Hodah, but not the Takonis HaNevi'im. So again, the 8 days of Chanukah were established by the Nevi'im as days of Kriyas HaHallel. And here you would not require what? You would not require understanding. But the Sugyan Shabbos that establishes a day of Hodah, which requires that he understand what he's saying, that already comes on the Shira. You don't have to recite the entire Hallel. You're not Yotzi unless you have an understanding of the Hodah. Oh, now what's the last line? Let's see if I can get the last line. Yevel Zeh Ka'omar B'Gemara Da'kviyu Shal Chanukah La'hodos La'Hallel Hu Zecher L'Nes Pach HaShem. Just 1 second. It's not sinking in. Why is this Shira established as a hodah for the ness of the Pach Hashem. And I don't
what the Gemara Shabbos says.
Yeah, but why? Do you understand why it is so? I mean, I'm missing a little bit of a point. You know, I'm so used to the previous round. You know, the approach. I'm having trouble making this transition because I always thought that the Takanas HaNeviim, which would establish a Chiyuv Shira, that's what I thought until now, is based on the experience of the miracle of the military miracle, meaning the Sara and the Geula.
Yeah, but he's saying the opposite now.
Right now he's saying that no, that the Shira of Hallel as a Takan of Yuchedes. See, he's really answering the following question. Why do we have the Brisa of my Chanukah to establish Hallel on Chanukah? I mean, we already have the Brisa in Erechin of the Yud Ches Yomim.
Maybe he's answering the question you might ask. No. If it's a Shira, why don't we say Hallel on the first night of Chanukah? Right,
okay, I don't know if I'm ready for that kash. That's a great kash. But I'm just suggesting that perhaps he's saying the following. That what's this whole Brisa of my Chanukah? The Brisa is trying to tell us about the establishment of Chanukah and the Chiyuv Hallel Vodah. Well, what's got to do with this whole Brisa? We have already a Brisa in Erechin. So
no,
he wants.
No. Rashi on my Chanukah has a number of different Chiyuvim. Another reason for my Chanukah. And if Rashi writes, oh, he's a Nes Kvon.
Right?
So obviously there were other Nisim. And Chazar are Misakein for this particular Nes. Now, once you establish that Nes, then Erechin comes in. Erechin comes in afterwards.
Ah, okay, but I'm just suggesting a possibility as to why Erechin is based on the Gemara and Psachim of Takanas HaNeviim. And he identifies that as a Chi of Kriya.
Correct.
And Chanukah is incorporated into the 18 days of Kriya.
Correct.
Now he's saying that Chanukah, in my Chanukah, I mean to say in the Gemara and Shabbos, is a special takana of Hodah and Shira.
Right.
It would not require the entire Hallel. And that was established because of the Shem Pach HaShemen.
Right.
That I find counterintuitive. Why? Straighten me out on this. Because I would think that if you want to recite Shira, then that should be because of the Sora Shenigolim Imeno. I'm stuck in that, you know, mentality. No. Why would I establish Shira on the Shem?
That's the Zichra Nes for the holiday itself as a total. And then you have the uniqueness of the Pach HaShemen, and on that Nes you have a Shira.
Shoot. So again, as far as the Ga'olim Imeno, that's going to establish Chanukah as one of the 18 days,
right,
with the Chiyuv Kriya.
The regal type of thing.
And as far as this new requirement of Shira that we said according to the Magen Avraham requires absolute Sheyoven as Haloshon, that requirement is because of the Pach HaShemen. Oh, now Ubozei Yisyashiv Hod Debinusach Al Anisim. Right, that's the last line in the Al Anisim. We should be getting at least one more opportunity minimum of saying that. Maybe if you have a meal with Birkas HaMazon, you'll get another opportunity. And he says the following, it's very odd. We're talking about Hodah, we're thanking Hashem for the Nisim and the flows, and in that we incorporate the Chiyuv Hallel, right? What does that have to do with Hodah? He says, even in the Nusach of Aneiros Halolu, we also say Lahodos Ulahalel. It's based on a Brisa Masech to Sofrim. He says, Ulam Lamavur Dahal Shal Chanukah Ika Shnei Dinim Umevad Halel. I'm sorry. Umevad the Chanukah Vimechlala Yudches Yomim Shekorim Ben Esahalel. Ika din misuyam shalamir salva chanukah b'torah shira. Right, the first one was the takanas hanavim for the geula from the tzara, and the second one was a separate takan of kviyas halel b'torah hodah because of the shemen. He says the ikar kviyas chanukah hu lahodos v'lomer halel shal shira. The ikar shira hu hodah lanes. The gama halal hu bechlal lahodos is shapir onu maskirim lahalel b'shoshanu modim alanes. Kevon, just give me 1 second, sorry. Kevon di af ha-halel hu mi-chiv hodah. It's now that we've established that halel is not just because of the yomim she-gomim v'nesal, but there's also separate kiyum of halel b'toras hodah. And we're saying that they were koveya Chanukah in the brice of my Chanukah because of this chiyuv hodah. That's the essence of the kfiyas of Chanukah. Just give me 1 minute, I'm sorry. That therefore Shapir Onomas Kirim Lahalel Shoshanu Modim Alanes. We have to somehow declare what was the Nusach again? The Kavu Shmonas Yimei Chanukah Elu Lahodos Ulahalel is Shapir Onu Maskirim Lahalel B'Shoshanu Modim Al Hanes Kevon the Afa Halel Hu Michiyuv Hodah. Let me just say over what he's saying, and then the floor is yours. I just want, he's saying that if we would omit this last declaration from Al-Anisim, we would be missing the following. We would come to the mistaken conclusion that Hallel on Chanukah is just simply a result of the fact that they established Hallel as 8 days out of the 18 days of Gemiras HaHallel. We would not know that this Hallel is generated by a new Kiyum, a new Takana of Hodah. Because we have to somehow declare that these days of Chanukah, insofar as these days of Hodah, they generate Hallel B'Toras Hodah. And that's a brand new Chiyuv. And that's a brand new category of Hallel, because that he classifies that as Hallel Shel Shira, if you remember. So it's not Hallel Shel Kriya, and he requires that we understand that Hallel. Why? Because that Hallel is Hallel Shel Hodah. So there's a great deal of confusion, he says here, or potential confusion, in terms of the nature of Hallel on Chanukah. We might mistakenly come to the conclusion that Hallel on Chanukah is nothing unique. It's no different than the Hallel that we recite on the other, how many days? The other 10 days of Hallel. How would we know? We have to sort of declare and let it penetrate into our minds that this Hallel is in addition to being the classical Hallel of Kriyas Hallel B'Yud Ches Yomim, it's also a unique Hallel because the day itself, or these 8 days, were established as days of Hodah, and this Hallel is a Hallel Hodah, which means I have to understand what I'm saying, because otherwise it's not Hodah. So he says, Shapir Adamas Kirim, what we have to mention in the Al-Anisim, that Kavu Shmonas Yimei Chanukah Elu Lahodos Ulahalel. So the question was, Madu Anu Maskirim Chiv Halel? After all, we're talking here about the Chiv Hodah. Remember, the Brisa has two categories. The days of Chanukah are established as days of Halel and Hodah. These are two categories, correct? So how do we fulfill the Chiyuv Hodah? We recite Al HaNisim. So we would think that Hallel, right, is completely independent of the Chiyuv Hodah. That Hallel is a different entity, right? You have two. This is the Havamin. I'm just explaining the Havamin. Right? It says that they establish these days as days of Hallel Hodah. I'd be tempted to think, mistakenly, that these are two separate categories. The Hallel of Chanukah is like the Hallel of Atzeres and Sukkos, you know, that belongs to the Brice of Yud Ches Yomim. And Hodah is a Chiyuv Hodah. And that's Hallel Nisim, but not Hallel. So to Lafuke, to come and reject that Havim, you know, he says we want to make a declaration in Hodah itself that we have also a Chiyuv Hallel. Meaning that we have a Chiyuv Hallel of Hodah. That's what he says. Okay, Rav Mosai, it's getting late, and I would like to do something that I spent a lot of time on, if you don't mind, and that's a page that's called Kuf Lamed Gimel. You should have it on the table here, which is Chanukah Be'Agada. You have it? Now, the first...
Who's this?
This again, this is the last section. We're fast-forwarding from page Peites all the way to page Kuf Lamed Gimel. And we're doing that because we only have 15 minutes left to Hanukkah, so to speak. Okay. Ben, you don't have these pages?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Because I see I have a few extra pages.
Kuf Lamed Gimel.
Kuf Lamed Gimel. You have it there?
No.
All right. So this first section that we want to cover in the next 15 minutes, Bezer Hashem, is an insight into Alan Nisan. It starts on Kuf Lamed Gimel, and it ends on Kuf Nun Aleph. So, and again, I don't know how many pages you have. I don't think we photocopied that many pages because I didn't have a Havamina that will be able to cover that many pages. We need a couple of hours on that. But here's the deal. Question number one. Why Purkan? Ala Nisim v'ala Purkan. So if you want to understand the Nusach HaTfilah, the best sefer to get a hold of is called the Avudraham. Get a different pronunciations of his name. I happen to have a copy of the Avudraham. Not the original. I'm not that rich. But in the Avudraham, he very often, in a very short and succinct way, he tells you that the Nusach of the Tfilah is borrowed from Psukim and Tanakh. The man has, again, he lived about six centuries ago, he has Tanakh in the palm of his hand, and he'll tell you on every single word in Tefillah which pasuk in Tanakh is being quoted in the Tefillah, is organized in the Tefillah. So on the word Purkan, he sends you to two different pasukim. One pasuk is at the end of Sefer Tehillim, very famous pasuk that we know in Kuf Lamed Vav, V'yifrakenu Mitzoreinu. And the other pasuk is at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. It says, "Vayiftecha mibeis avodim," and he quotes the Targum, who says that the word "vayiftecha" is uperkach, from the word pirkan. So the Gevuras Yitzchak wants to suggest the following: that there's a halacha in tefillah that whenever we ask Hashem for geula, we always mention geulas hanefesh. There are two categories of geula of redemption. There's the national redemption for the people of Israel to break the bonds of shibud and slavery and so forth and enslavement for the sake of the freedom and liberty of Klal Yisrael, and that's your classical geula. But at the same time, we should be thanking Hashem or asking Hashem for geulas hanefesh. On a very personal level, that we all have our difficulties, our straits, our challenges, and we're asking for geula. I was thinking that maybe, again, this is my own suggestion, that maybe in Berchas HaGeula in Shmon Esrei we say Re'evon Yenu V'Riva Rivenu. So I was thinking that maybe, according to this Avudraham, maybe Re'evon Yenu is referring to my personal Inu Nefesh on a spiritual level, all my challenges and limitations, and then Riva Rivenu is already on a national level, for Geula, for the Golus of the Gufos of Klal Yisrael. In the Haggadah of Pesach, we say, V'nodel chashir chadash, al geulasenu v'al pidus nafshenu. What's the difference between Geula and pidus? And he says that the word pidus is indicative of Pidus HaNefesh. Like David HaMelech says, V'hu Yifdeis Yisrael Mikol Avonosov. So that's a pigeon from an enslavement, if you will, or contamination of sin. So the word pigeon is always indicative of the Nefesh, as opposed to the Guf. And therefore, when we recite Al HaNisim, and especially with regard to Hanukkah, as I'll explain in just a minute, it makes sense that we should thank Hashem for Purkan, because Purkan is the Aramaic equivalent of Pidus, of Pidgeon. And Pidgeon means Pidgeon HaNefesh. So Klal Yisrael underwent a spiritual a spiritual revival in the aftermath of Hanukkah, when the Shmad and all the Xeris of the Yevonim to destroy our religion were terminated. But I'd like to ask the following question. This makes sense with regard to Hanukkah. I don't know if it makes so much sense with regard to Purim. The same Al Anisim that recite here, we recite on Purim. Purim is all about Lahashmid Laharagu Li'Abed. Why is that called Purkan? Why are we thanking Hashem for Pidyon, which means Pidyon on Nefesh? And I think the answer perhaps lies in the Pasuk of La'Yehudim Oysa Ora V'Simcha V'Sason, and then it says afterwards, Kimu V'Kiblu Aleihem, and Chazal say La'Yehudim Oysa Ora V'Simcha Ora Zu Torah, etc., etc. And Kimu V'Kiblu means that the Kabbalah Satorah was a brand new Kabbalah Satorah at the time of Purim. So maybe we could suggest, based on what we see here, that the word Purkan or Pidus is relevant or is appropriate not only to Hanukkah but also to Purim as well. Now he asks another question. This is number Beis. And he asks the following. We say Al Agvuros Vi Al Atshuos, and then we're going to go on to Al HaMilchamos. What are we thanking Hashem for when we say Gvuros and Chuos? What is the double language? And he says the following, that when we talk about Hodah to Hashem and singing God's praises, there are really two distinct categories. There's one, thank you, Hashem, for giving me all these good things, for sparing me and saving me. And then there's the Shevach on the Gvuros Hashem. So we say Al Agvuros V'Al Atshuos. Al Agvuros means we're praising God because there's a great Kiddush Hashem. God has done an act of Gvura. He's changed the laws of nature on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And everyone now recognizes, Zekeli, this is the Gvura of Hashem. And based on this, he quotes the Brisker Rav to explain a very strange pasuk that we recite in Hallel. Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim. Why are the goyim being mahalas Hashem on these days in which we commemorate the miracles that protected us? And the answer is that hallelujah Hashem is on the gvura. Gvura means they can't thank Hashem out of a sense of gratitude because they didn't experience any sort of Yeshua or Hatzalah. But nevertheless, all the goyim, when they see the gvura of Hashem, the power of Hashem to protect and save the Jewish people, they can praise Hashem under Gvuros. Gvuros means to realize in a very obvious way the omnipotent power of the Almighty. However, we have a special chiyuv. Since we are the recipients of God's goodness, we have not only a chiyuv on Gvuros, to be Meshaveach Hashem for His Gvuros, but also Al Atshuos, meaning what he did for us. That's already a whole different category. That's called a Hodah on Tovas Hashem. So in the paragraph here on the bottom left, he quotes the Emek Bracha. His name was Pomeranchik. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, and he says that with regard to Halal Al Anes, when we say in Al Anisim Masarta Gibor Biad Chaloshim V'Rabim Biad Miatim, that means Derech HaNes. This was an unbelievable, clear miracle of Hashem that defies nature. Then we have a chiyuv of Gvuros. Gvuros meaning to sing the praises of Almighty God and recognize His omnipotence. But then we say, Uliamcha Yisrael Asisa Chua Gedola. That's already a different category. That's already a Hodah in which we thank Hashem for the Tova, the Yeshua that He gave to Klal Yisrael. But why Milchamos? Milchamos are bloody battles. Why are we thanking Hashem and Al Anisim for Milchamos? And this you'll see on page Kuf Lamed Dalet, number Gimel. And he says the following, based on the Beis HaLevi in Parshas B'Shalach. The Beis HaLevi says that if a person is in a state of tzar, Rachmana Litzlan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him and saves him, then he has to give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaHodoya, not just on the fact that Hashem spared him, but on the whole Geshichta, so to speak, the whole series of events. In other words, there's also an element of hodah on the tzara, Nebuch, on the tzara itself. Chada, he says, number one, Meshabeach avur hatova shekibel me'Hashem, that Hashem spared him. But he says that the godel hasimcha, the intensity of the joy when Hashem saves him is because of the tzar, the suffering, the affliction, and his very very desperate situation that he found himself in. So the Beis HaLevi's Chiddush, and again we'd have to see in Shira Sayam how he integrates this into the Shira, but Ikar Simcha Hu Lo Hak Al Hatzola, but also Al Hatzar Shemikodem, and that means that he was Zoche, that Hashem through this Tzar would bring about the great salvation that saved him, and therefore the Hodah has to include even the Tzar itself. So the Baal HaMechaber here wants to suggest that that's why we add Al Milchamos in our Al HaNisim, because we want to give Hodah to Hashem even on the difficult wars that we fought. Why? Because through these wars came the Yeshua, the great salvation, and the Kiddush Hashem. So we want to thank Hashem not only for the Hatzolah and the Yeshua, but even for the Milchama. Like Hashem, Ish Milchama, or Milchama Hashem Bamolek, or Nekom Nikma Stama Vedech HaShavu, these are all psukim that indicate that when God meets out or plays the role of an Ish Milchama, he is Makadish Shem Shamayim. That's the great Kiddush Shemayim. So that's where we end the Al HaNisim with Lecha Sisa Shem Godel, the Kiddush B'Olamecha, V'Kadosh B'Olamecha, and the Kadosh B'Olamecha is on the Milchamos. That when we realize the Milchamos and we see that Hashem is fighting on our behalf and battling and saving us, that's a great Kiddush Hashem B'Olamecha. Why do we say in the Al HaNisim Be'Yomim Ahem Bazman Hazeh? So let me share with you first what I heard from my Rebbe. He said that you should have the girsa u'bisman hazeh. And it means that we're thanking Hashem for all the miracles that happened then, but we're also adding a prayer for our time period, that we should also in our time merit great miracles. He quotes the Avudraham, who quotes in turn a pasuk in Esther that says, bismaneim b'chol shana v'shana, that they established these days of Purim as days of celebration and simcha mishta b'chol shana v'shana. So in order to explain what this b'chol shana v'shana is, we're going to take a look at the Nesivos. The Nesivos is famous for his halachic works, but he also wrote a pirish on Megillah, called Megillah Starim on Purim, excuse me. And there it says, kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim aleim shalo yia yom elu b'chol shana kifak tukva Faratugma Yeshana Vizekha Bialma. What he means is that we're not just establishing these days to remember the past. And I think the word partugma is like a phonograph kind of thing, you know, that you play back something that happened years ago. But rather, Shiyu Etzlam Keilu Hayom Nasa Nes. The Avudraham says that we should experience these miracles as if it happened today. She kaimu begodol simcha, we should fulfill these days as great days of simcha, as if we ourselves experienced the miracle. That's what bizman hazeh means. That chayovim l'kayim yomim ha'elu b'chol shana v'shana ki'ilu nasa ha'nes achshav. And again, you know, we discussed today at great length that maybe on Hanukkah, in addition to Hallel, is a Kiyum Shira. Perhaps that Kiyum Shira is an expression of this Bizman HaZeh. What does it mean, Bizman HaZeh? That Ki'ilu Hayom Nasa Nes. And if it's as if we experience the miracle today, that's the intensity of our relationship to the miracle, then it's going to be a Kiyum Shira. And this brings us up to number Hey. Why Matisyo ben Yochanan? What's all, you know, the opening line in the Al HaNisim for Chanukah is Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. What's the big deal here? So he quotes the Bir Agra, who in turn quotes the Gemara in Chulin. Vanochi Aster, Aster's part of the Gemara says that there's a pasuk that is a remez for Esther in the Torah. What was the Gemara asking about Esther? We don't find that the Gemara asks about other tzaddikim that we have to find as some sort of a basis in the Torah. And the answer is that with regard to the other nisim that take place in Eretz Yisrael, that's not a big chiddush. The chiddush of Esther is that we're in Golus. It's a time period of Hester Panim. And how do we know that Hashem is with us and brings about great miracles even during a period of time of Hester Panim? And the answer is because Hashem declares, Anochi Aster Aster's Panai, but I won't forsake you. That even during the Shah, even during a period of time of Hester Panim, Hashem does miracles. And if that be the case, then the Ness of Hanukkah, which was in Eretz Yisrael, we don't really need to identify exactly. I'm sorry, what did I say? Are we on Kuf Lamed? Yeah. So what I meant to say was that there's a fundamental difference between the Ness of Hanukkah and the Ness of Purim. The Chiddush of the Ness of Purim is the Shushan Abira, correct? And that's what we emphasize in Al Nisan. But in Hanukkah, we don't identify the place where the Ness took place because we understand, and we're not going to ask for a remez in the Torah. And the answer is because this is the Ness of Eretz Yisrael. In Purim, we're going to have to mention that it was in Shushan Avira, because that's the Chiddush of Purim, that even in Golus, even during the time of Esther Panim, nevertheless, there was a great miracle in Shushan. I just want to add my own. The Rambam opens up Hilchas Chanukah with the words, B'bayis Sheni. And that's a period of time after Nevuah, after prophecy, terminated. Not only that, in Bayis Sheni there were no miracles like they had in Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni is a very difficult period of Jewish history. And therefore, perhaps what he's saying here about Purim, that Purim is a great miracle because it's during a period of Hester Panim and God still doesn't forsake us, and that's the Esther Menator Minayim. We could say the same thing about Chanukah, that the Chiddush of Chanukah is even if it was in Eretz Yisrael, and even if it was during the period of Bayis Sheni, nevertheless, it's a very difficult period of time in history. There's no Nevuah, there are no Nevi'im, there are no miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's great. But finally, as we prepare for Mincha, why be Meimat Tisyon Ben Yochanan? Why do we have to emphasize this? And the answer is that Allah Nisan wants to teach us that even one person could be responsible for great things if he's willing to be Moser Nefesh against all odds. And this entire rebellion and battle against the Ivanim was initiated by Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And he gets together his children, his Chashmonoim, and they fight this battle. And if you'll take a look, do you have Kuf Lamed Vav? So we don't have time for this, but if you go through Kuf Lamed Vav, you'll see a very beautiful idea here that in a period of Jewish history where there are a few individuals who are willing to be Moser Nafshon, to really put their lives on the line for the sake of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, Paulim Gedolos, they can achieve great things. And therefore, when we mention Yochanan Kohen Gadol, what we're saying, Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we're saying that even one person with that perspective who's willing to put his life on the line could bring about the great Yeshua and the Hatzol. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, believe it, will start
in Yom Kippur. Yeah, next